sermon today is entitled, The Wind Beneath My Wings, All Wings. And I don't know what's wrong with my voice, but we'll make it, right? So Joanna sat silently in her seat. She clutched her fist and whispered beneath her breath. As she waited patiently to see if she would hear her name called as the winner of the Employee of the Year award. She thought about all the people she would thank, all the hands she would have to shake later on in the evening. And as if in a surreal moment, Joanna's name was called. She quietly made her way up to the podium. And before accepting her award, she took the time to thank all the fellow employees and everyone who had voted for her. Later that evening, her friend Lucy came to her, and Lucy said, Joanna, my dear, you thank everybody. You, and you only, worked hard to earn this award. You, and you only, woke up early every morning, in the snow and in the rain, in the bad weather, and you alone, worked to earn that award. If it was me, if I had won that award, this is what my speech would be. I, Lucy, I am the greatest on the job. I know everything about my job. I have trained myself for the job. I show up early every day and I leave late. I think I deserve more than a raise. I have such tenacity, I can do the job of three people. I should be getting three paychecks for my job. I am the best worker in the company. And tonight, who else should receive this award but me? This award is mine. I earned it. And you bet I earned it. It is all mine. That's what Lucy said her speech would be. To Joanna's amazement, she said, Lucy, be humble, be thankful. And would you actually say that? Lucy replied, you wait until next year when I win, and you will judge for yourself. As Christians, why do we think nobody in their right senses would actually talk like that, at least not in public, you may be surprised to know that in a survey, many employees do feel that way. They may not express it verbally, they may not write it on paper, but 90% of employees think that the Employee of the Year award should not only be given to them, they feel it's an entitlement. They think this company needs them and they are invincible. I work at two jobs and I must confess, I hope I'm the only one, that sometimes I feel that way sometimes. Chasing kids in the playground, wiping their nose, tying their shoestrings. There's no camera to document what I do outside on the playground. They climb on the swings and they yell back to me, can you please get me down? And I stand there and I have to say, jump! And they jump and sometimes I get this thump right here. It's okay. Sometimes I feel I should get the Employee of the Year award. I don't know if I have the nerve to say I am the best, or I should get three paychecks, but in my mind, I think sometimes like Lucy. Romans, to thankfulness, to the many people who helped him accomplish his missionary work in the spreading of Christianity in the early years. Paul was ordained by the risen Jesus. Paul was made a minister of the gospel by Jesus. And according to Romans 15, verse 16, and although Paul was ordained by Jesus, he still had to depend on the goodness and the help of others to fully spread his gospel to the early church. It was a time when women were looked upon, and they were denied any standings in the church. In a time when there was so misogyny, there was so much of it. This is a big word. And it means the hatred of women. The Apostle Paul took the time in his busy schedule to pause and to reflect on the goodness of the many women of faith who became his movers and shakers of his ministry. In chapter 16 of Romans, Paul, equipped with much humility, began his preamble. He said, "Women like Phoebe." He mentioned this woman by name, but especially Phoebe, who had gone over and beyond her call to ministry. He said, "You have the courage to do that. In a time when the church overlooks women and is so condescending towards them, you, Phoebe, you have found courage in God, and you have risen to the title of church deacon. I commend you, my sister." He referred to her as a sister in Christ. "I commend you, my sister Phoebe. You have used your house as a house church to the new converts. And to all the deacons who are here today, I hope you will learn that the first woman deacon in the Bible was a woman named Phoebe." In seminary, I did a paper on Phoebe. I just had to. It turned out good. I got an A. In those days, deacons were called diaconess. Today in 2023, we use the term deacon. So every time you step into that role, just remember there was a woman of the Bible who paved that way for you. I was also a deacon once upon a time in the church in Bridgewater. And where I came from, both my parents were deacons. Back there on the island, we don't say deacon. We call them deaconesses. Phoebe was the first female deacon in the Bible. She was wealthy, and she kept church for the Jesus believers in her house. Amen?
Amen.
She was always there to welcome the Apostle Paul on his many journeys to Centrahay. Centrahay was a small village in Greece. And when Paul would visit with his fellow missionary friends like Silas and Barnabas, remember many times they would be out there preaching the gospel and they would be bounded and run to prison. There was one time when Paul had to escape prison through a window. They let him down in the basket. When Paul would visit with his fellow missionary friends, Phoebe was there to welcome them. They stayed at the house of Phoebe. She provided them with food and shelter and all the necessary amenities. So please welcome Phoebe in the Lord. That's what Paul said. "If she needs help in anything, give it to her, for she herself has been a help to many, including myself." Paul also thanked other women alongside Phoebe. He said, "Don't forget Prisca and Aquila. They are my fellow workers in the service of Christ, and they have risked their own lives for my sake. Also greet Mary." There's always a Mary in there, in the Bible. God blessed all the Marys and the Phoebes. He said, "Greet Mary, who have worked so hard. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have worked hard for the Lord." And so as not to forget the men, Paul also thanked the men. There were many of the men who also helped Paul in his ministry. Paul was educated. He knew that in order to fully accomplish his message of Christianity, he would need the help of others who would become the wind beneath his wings. And for the men, Paul wrote, "Epaphroditus, who was stationed in Asia, I thank you. You have brought many to know Jesus. And you, Andronicus, who was once imprisoned with me in Asia, I thank you. I thank you, Urbanus and Apelles and Rufus and your mother, who also became a mother to me." Paul was saying it is not uncommon to have a church mother, a female character in the church whom you look up to, and someone who can help put you back on track when some days may seem troubling. Christian friends, can you and I go through this entire lifetime living by ourselves and think that never in our lives can we thank anybody? Can we receive awards for good works and not thank anyone? Do we still wake up in the morning, whether it be rain or snow, sunny, and not thank the God who woke us up? And who are the ones do you classify in your life as the wind beneath your wings? Sometimes it is you. You are that wind that helps those around you to go through their day and their days in life. The Apostle Paul, as I mentioned earlier, was ordained and made a minister by the grace of Jesus. And he taught us how to be thankful. In a time when women were overlooked, he taught us to be thankful to the women. He taught us to be thankful to the men. We must always thank those who are close to us, who are helping us on our journey, and those whom we classify as the wind beneath our wings. Those who rise up and go the extra mile to make our lives easier. Those in the church, there are wind beneath our wings right here. I'm standing here not by my own jurisdiction. It was you, wonderful people, the wind beneath my wings, who carry me every Sunday, and whom I look forward to being with every Sunday, to be here. I was up at 4 thinking I missed it, and I was not going to miss it, so I just stayed up. In case I went back to bed and I slept late, I'm up already, I'll just stay up. And that's what I did this morning. When Paul was finished thanking everyone who had helped him in fulfilling the gospel in Rome, the book of Romans was for the Romans. That's what he wrote to them, and we benefit from that as Christians. Paul finished chapter 16 of Romans with a doxology. So if you are looking for a good read this week, let me refer you to Romans chapter 16. It is a letter of thanks, directed mostly to women, but also directed to men. He mentioned the men in there too. And he closed the entire chapter 16 with this doxology. "Now to him who is able to strengthen you in the gospel which I proclaimed, preached Jesus Christ, the gospel which reveals the mystery hidden for many ages, but now manifested through the writings of the prophets, and at the command of the eternal God, made known to all the Gentiles, that they may believe and obey. To him God only is wise. May glory be given through Jesus Christ unto endless ages. Paul is saying in his doxology that indeed a mystery was revealed to him. 3 years in the desert with the risen Jesus, Jesus revealed a mystery to him. The mystery that we were with him in the beginning of creation. We were with Jesus. And Jesus is saying in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that there will come a day, we live our lives, we grow up, but there will come a day when the trumpet of God will sound. He gave us the season. He gave us the approximate time of day. He never gave us the year. He never gave us the day itself. If it's going to be on a Sunday, a Monday, a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. What day, we don't know. What year, we don't know. But he gave us the season. And he gave us the approximate time of day. The day that he went back up into heaven, it was around the time of Easter. So this is the season. It was about 9, between 9 and 9 a.m. in the morning. Every morning at 9, I wake up and say, it's not today. Okay, it's after 9. And as believers, we should be looking for the coming of the blessed hope. He said there will come a day when the trumpet will sound by the archangel Michael, the biggest angel in heaven. We should know that. Angels are huge, but one of them is bigger than all, and he is the mighty archangel. And he is the one who will blow that trumpet. And the dead in Christ will rise first. I want to see that. And those of us who still believe or are believers in Christ, we will be caught up in the air. Together with those who are dead or who were dead in Christ. And we will meet the Lord in the air. Oh my. And how is that going to be possible? I know one thing, we have the technology to see it. Everyone has a cell phone, right? There will be more selfies that morning than you can imagine. We don't need to watch CNN anymore on that morning. I got it right here. We will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And Paul is saying in his doxology in Romans chapter 16, it is a mystery. Who can believe this? And Jesus revealed this to me. It may sound like gobbledygook to a lot of people, and to those who still don't believe. So here's your homework again. Romans chapter 16, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 4 to 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. The trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ will rise, and those of us who are alive, here's our proof, we hear every day people say that we all have to die. As Christians, we know that is not true. So when people say that, I always say, well, what Bible are you reading? Because the scripture says, those of us who are still alive, so some of us will not taste death. I am not making that up. And we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with him. And the Apostle Paul is saying it is a mystery. And as we leave our lives today, tomorrow, and the years ahead of us, we are to comfort. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 to 17 closes. It says, comfort one another with this thing. Those are not easy things to understand. Those are not easy things to start a conversation with. Those are not easy things that we can sit and say, oh yes, I get this. It's difficult to understand. But it is written in plain English. So we can dance around it. It is the truth of God. My job, when I stand here, is to prepare everyone to get a little bit closer every Sunday to Jesus. Because one day, I have to respond. It's like you work for a company, you have a group of people who work for the company. You are the manager or the supervisor. When the big boss comes around, he calls you in the room and he tells you what to tell the people. So I will be called to in a room and I will hear the words, did you tell them? And I hope my response will be yes. I told them all that I was supposed to tell them. I hope I did not miss anything. So I can't stand here Sunday after Sunday and not tell the truth of God, because I have a responsibility to do. And I leave you with these words, hoping that you can comfort yourself with these things, that one day the trumpet will sound. We will all hear it. I don't know how he's going to do that. Even the hearing impaired who have never heard anything in their lifetime, they too, they will hear. When that trumpet is blown, we will all hear it, and hoping that we can all be ready to meet the Lord in the air. I want to turn back. I want to be airborne. I want to see what it feels like